Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. What a day. So, just got a call. Had to make a correction here because Dante DiVincenzo signed last year to the mid-level exception.
Yes.
Mid-level exception, right?
I said that,
but,
I think.
But the Warriors could only offer up to $7 million because of the mid-level exception process there. So
it was like when they had DeMarcus, you could only give him a 20% raise if you wanted it to retain him.
And so he went to go get his money. He got his money. But he loved it here. There's no doubt. I remember my in-laws. They saw him down there, and they took a picture with him, and he was chatting it up with them. And apparently when Dante was here with the Knicks, when the Knicks won wire to wire, the game I took to my mother to, and we're sitting right behind the Knicks bench, he went down to the Warriors locker room, hugged everybody. So he was a good Warrior, man. To see him thrive, he's a good dude, really good guy. To see him, the Milwaukee days were rough for him. They were rough. There's no other way to put it. He just couldn't find his footing, injuries, couldn't find his three-point shot, but he found it. Now he's a key piece with the New York Knicks. All right, let's go to Justin Turbidy, our main man, SiriusXM Radio, with Eddie Johnson. I know he's enjoying the playoffs. I wonder if Eddie's enjoying the playoffs so far with the Phoenix Suns. Justin, man, long time no talk. How you doing, brother? Welcome to the Morning Roast again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I mean, today's about the easiest day you could possibly have to do a show, right, after what we saw last night.
Oh, my God. Was that one of the best doubleheaders? Because we do want to talk some dubs here, and we're having a Steph Curry conversation, but Knicks, Sixers, Lakers, Nuggets coming back from 20. I mean, Ernie Johnson started inside the NBA. He opened inside the NBA by saying, that's the greatest doubleheader I think I've ever been a part of here at the station. What about you? And it's just the first round, but I can't recall a doubleheader like that.
No, I'm not even sure I can recall like one game, and I know you guys are spoiled out there with all the great games the Warriors played over the years, but we sometimes, I think, go postseasons without having like one game like we saw last night, and we actually had two of them. So, I can't recall in all my years seeing two on the same night that were as good as that.
Can we geek out for just a second? So it's like the reverse Reggie Miller Garden moment last night where they score a zillion points in a small amount of span. That inbound play, for the life of me, I don't understand. A, Bonte has been screaming, call the timeout. I agree with him, call the timeout. But once you start running baseline and that first guy is getting double teamed and they're not guarding the inbounder, you have an 85% free throw shooter in Tobias Harris, an 84% free throw shooter in Batum, and neither of them is looking for the ball. They're not cutting to the ball. They're not V-cutting. They're not moving. I, for the life of me, the entire sequence, I can't get over it. And they're going to have to wear that forever. That's one of the worst inbound plays I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to hear about it. And they did it in both games, right? You blew a 20-point lead in L.A. with the Lakers in Denver, but they're blaming the officials afterwards.
Yeah.
Same thing in Philadelphia. It's like, you know, you had a 5-point lead with 30 seconds left, and you had timeouts to use. So, and Kyle Lowry's the one that inbounded the basketball as well. Like, that's a veteran. How did you, like, it's not just all on the head coach and Nick Nurse who's claiming he called the timeout. Like, Lowry should know in that spot that you call a timeout and you settle things down. It's like it's reminiscent of maybe going all the way back to 1987 where Isaiah Thomas was another veteran, smart player, and Isaiah throws the ball into Bird. Now, Bird had to make a great play there, but with this one, it was almost like they just fumbled it. Nobody even had to make a great play. It was all on Philadelphia to kind of just, dribble, to just stumble around with the basketball and give them an opportunity. And then on top of that, you get the offensive rebound. They didn't do their job on multiple fronts.
Yeah, I mean, Lowry flopped on the final DiVincenzo 3 after not calling it. I was just like, call the timeout, Lowry. You've been in that position. Maxie's running to the corner. He's going to get trapped. Call the timeout. But what do you make of the officials? Because now we're hearing everybody. My boy Kyle Draper does a pregame, pre and post game show for the Sacramento Kings. He was saying that the NBA is unwatchable because of all the physicality. You had LeBron James crying last night, D'Angelo Russell crying last night, and that's the Lakers' way. They never take accountability. They were up 20, but they've always got to throw somebody up under the bus. And then you got the Sixers complaining about the referees. But how do you think the officials are doing? Because I like this physicality. This is bringing me back to the 90s. There were too many, Justin, 140, 137 games. It was too just up and down. You pick up basketball, give me some physicality. These are the damn playoffs. Let's get tough. Let's get rough. And now these guys are complaining about it, but what is your takeaway with the officials and the way they're officiating these games?
Draper and the media is complaining about it. Like, I could see the players complaining about it a little bit, but like, I think the diehard fan absolutely loves this, and I loved it dating back to like maybe the All-Star break in the regular season where it changed a little bit, because when you get more physicality, it makes you feel like the guys care a little bit more. At least that's from my perspective. And, you know, you love like some of the high scoring, but we don't need all the games to be that way. So I prefer the physicality, and I'd rather watch a playoff game where they're allowed, you know, maybe they miss a call or two, but they're allowing stuff compared to where it's just one whistle after another and guys getting to the free throw line. That's not the type of basketball I want to watch. So I absolutely love the fact that these officials are swallowing the whistle and allowing a lot of extra physicality.
You know, Bonte and I have been talking about this morning, especially after a weekend of games, last night's games. Boy, it feels like the Warriors are far away. I mean, really far away. Where do you view them in the hierarchy of the NBA and in the Western Conference?
Yeah, I mean, the plus is you have still one of the top 5 to 10 players in the sport, and I would say, you know, 5 to 7, maybe even higher than that. So that's not many teams, you know, things many teams have. So you still have that piece. Now, obviously, he's a little bit older, and you got to make difficult decisions. And I also don't know what you could use in order to put pieces around him, because, like, yeah, you could go, I would go the route of maybe the Celtics there in 2013, and I've heard other people bring this up, and even Memphis did it with Mike Conley and Gasol, where they blew it up and they were able to get assets in return and then make a quick bounce back. Boston, as a result of that trade, is competing for championships now and will for the foreseeable future. But Clay, even if you were to deal him, he's a free agent, I'm not sure you get much. Draymond, nobody's going to want. Andrew Wiggins, to me, doesn't really hold much value. I don't know what you guys think they could get for Andrew Wiggins. I don't think it's much. You might even have to attach an asset to it. So really the only piece that you have is Steph. So you have that piece that you need to win a championship. I'm just not sure that you have any of the other pieces, unfortunately.
Yeah, it feels like they're a lot farther than contending with the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota T-Wolves, the OKCs of the world, because the Grizzlies, the Spurs, the Rockets, they're coming. They're coming in the rear. Wimby's a problem here. What do you think about Klay, though? Where do you think he's playing next season, Justin? Because I don't know if the Warriors are going to try to bring back the big three. You didn't make the playoffs this year. You think Klay's actually moving on? What are you hearing out there?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he wants to stay from everybody that I talk to, and I'd love to see him stay because I do miss that about the league, right? Guys just staying together for their full careers. I loved it when the big three in Boston did it with Bird, McHale, and Parrish. You like to see these guys retire together, even if it costs you maybe one championship. But I don't know what the feeling is for, like, you guys as fans. Would it be worth, like, maybe one less championship if it was just Steph staying and you had to get rid of Klay and Draymond? Like, I almost like the idea of, hey, one less championship, but they play their entire careers in one uniform. I think Klay would probably be better off from a basketball perspective going just to, like, get a fresh start and clear his head, because he'll be viewed as a completely different player. Like, maybe a place like Orlando would be nice for him with an up-and-coming team, and you see they can't shoot. Yeah, he'd get plenty of playing time, and he'd be their main guy down there, essentially, for buckets. So, I'd like to see him stay, but, you know, I think for the benefit of, like, maybe his mental health, probably better moving on.
Justin, I mean, it's been a wild ride with Klay Thompson on these phone lines, and it is mixed feelings. I hate kicking a four-time champ down. I'm a Klay stan. I thought he played well since the All-Star break, shooting 41% from three and 45% from the floor. The Orlando thing has been out there for so long. They could get him, or what about Philadelphia? They need shooting. I mean...
Exactly. Yeah, that's another place. I think their first target's going to be Paul George. Let me just also say that I love Klay Thompson. Like, in dealing with all the athletes, and this is like typically when you get sick of the champions, right, a team that's on top. I never got sick of Golden State just because the organization's complete class across the board, including like Steph and Klay, who I think are the easiest two superstars to deal with. So I never could root against them, even though they kept having success. And I don't know if people out there are blaming Klay for missing the postseason. Like I said it on my show, it's not his fault. It's Draymond's fault because he's the guy that missed 15 to 20 games. And if he didn't miss 15 to 20 games, you guys would have been the top 6 seed. So to me, like, I'm pointing the finger at Draymond for two consecutive seasons for sabotaging basically the year.
Wow. Jonathan Kuminga, I mean, we just went through this with Jordan Poole where you see flashes and sustainability over like a month or 2 months or whatever of excellent play. But, man, having to jump up and pay the guy $30 million a year after what ended up happening to Jordan Poole, I know it's not even fair to do that to Kuminga, to do the transitive property thing, but I would have a difficult time paying him $30 million. And I understand there's a business aspect. Would you pay him $30 million a year, or would you move him if you were the Warriors to get something back?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, well, I mean, if you're going to go with Steph and keep him, then you're going to have to move him if the goal is to compete, because he might be a nice player, but he's not ready to compete for champions. Is he a number two on a championship, a number three? I don't think so. I mean, look what you saw from Denver last night. Is he capable of even doing what Aaron Gordon's doing? And Gordon's probably their fourth guy behind Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., and I don't think he is. And plus, as great as Steph is, and certainly a top, you know, 10 to 12 player in the history of the sport, as of right now, is he Jokic? Jokic is a better player than him right now. So, like, you're going to have your number one guy in Steph, who's not as good as Denver's number one guy. Then you're going to have your number two guy or three guy in Kuminga, who really won't even be the fourth guy on Denver, and that's who you're competing wow. against for a championship. So I would say you probably, you know, don't want to give him that money, but you also got to see what you can get for him. You don't want to give him up for free. Yeah. And they got a lot of bad again, the Draymond contract to me is bad, only because nobody else would take him. And then the Wiggins contract is bad because nobody's going to want him. Do you want a third contract that really you can't get rid of?
Wow, you're speaking nothing for facts here. Justin Termini, Sirius XM NBA Radio with Eddie Johnson, our main man, Eddie Johnson. We'll get him on the show soon as the Suns have a big game tonight in Minnesota. They're trying to avoid an 0-2 series deficit here. LeBron James, because my guy across from me. And look, there was a time I really loved LeBron James. There was a time I did, and then I didn't. And I want no parts of LeBron James. But with that Warriors and Lakers rumor trade came out, proposal, whatever. The Warriors are looking at LeBron James. The Lakers said no or blah, blah, blah. Do you see an avenue where LeBron James would join forces with Stephen Curry and the Golden State Warriors? And if so, how successful would that be? Because I don't think that's still enough for a championship to get through the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, it could work only because of Steph, I think. I mean, and I've always said this, he's the most unselfish player maybe in NBA history because he allows Durant to come into his team. I think Steph's a better player than Durant, and he allows him still to be called the best player in the sport and kind of get all the attention from the media. So, like, I think Steph could make it work. Now, can LeBron play in a system that Steph's been playing in where the ball just moves nonstop? LeBron's a great passer, but he doesn't make his teammates, in my estimation, necessarily that much better because there's a lot of ball pounding as well. He doesn't get the criticism that Harden or Luka does, and he certainly doesn't pound it as much as those guys, but he's still very ball dominant, and I think that takes away from some of his teammates. So I don't know if he'd fit into that system. He's smart enough where I'm sure he would adapt. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that, I mean, is that fun for you guys? Is that
hell
not,
yeah.
It's not fun for me, Justin.
Yes, it is.
I do the pre and post game show for the Warriors. I would wear it, and I'm sure the Warriors are not happy with me saying this right now, but I want to avoid that. That would be another podcast, and oh, I got podcast-itis. No, I don't want to deal with that, Justin. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, listen, bottom line is, like, I love Steph because it's about basketball. I love Jokic right now because it's about basketball.
Yep.
It's not the extra stuff. You're hosting a post-game show for the Warriors for the last, you know, and I guess you got Draymond there, so it hasn't been about basketball. But if you have Draymond and LeBron, it's never going to be about the actual game. It's never going to be about the sport.
Justin, you're on fire, man.
Let me just make it clear. Bonte speaks for himself and portions of the fan base.
I'm speaking for myself.
Not for me.
Yeah.
I'll take LeBron all day.
So there you go.
I'll take LeBron all day. All day.
Well, he's going to throw, if you're a Steph guy, he's going to throw Steph under the bus at some point because it can never be LeBron's fault.
No, it could never be LeBron's fault. Last night it was the referee's fault, not the fact that they blew a 20-point lead.
He was brilliant in the fourth quarter.
He was. He was fine.
He was great. He was fantastic. I mean, that's the thing that's incredible is, like, Anthony Davis also probably played, you know, arguably the two best games of his career, certainly the best half of his career last night, and he still wasn't even the best big on the floor, which is insane.
Wow, Justin, good stuff. We're going to keep in touch during these playoffs because we're still tapping in, despite the Warriors not being in it for the first time in a long time. But, man, what a night last night. Justin, thanks for the time as always, brother.
All right, thanks for having me on, fellas.
Good stuff.
Anytime. SiriusXM NBA Radio with Eddie Johnson. He's one of my favorites.
Love his
that
voice.
That is a go-to show. He's got a radio voice. Him and Eddie go at it. He doesn't back down either, man. These lines are lit up.
He was going at Draymond.
They're going at him.
See, that's I wish people inside this market would maybe take a step outside the market from time to time and just get a feel for how the rest of the country views players on our teams.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Send me that interview. I'm going to send it to some people here because a lot of people, there are some Justin Termini fans out there. They love when we bring them on. They love when we bring them on.
Family members?
Yeah, family members.
Very cool.
NBA fans. A lot of NBA fans. NBA fans were tapped in.
I just want everyone to know, you know that, remember that there's that meme there? I guess it's not a meme. It was like a video, that TikTok. I just flipped the switch. Flip, flip. You guys don't know what I'm talking about? When everybody, it was like a couple years ago.
I wasn't a big TikTok guy.
You didn't see it? Like Alex Rodriguez and J-Lo did it, I believe, when they were in the bathroom together. Maybe it was Ben Affleck.
Oh, when
and J-Lo.
they flip outfits. They still do that.
All Warrior
stuff.
Fans hating on LeBron this morning. The second he comes to the Warriors, I just hit the switch. Boom, they're all going to flip into LeBron fans.
Look, LeBron's a great player. He's a great player. He's awesome. He's one of the best ever. But if I had a choice, you're asking me if I had a choice, I don't want him.
I don't think there are any choices. Right.
Here's the deal. He's on his way to getting swept again by the Denver Nuggets.
That's not all because of him.
It's not all because of him, but that's his team. That's his team. And they've lost to the Nuggets how many straight times? Nine? Ten?
Nine.
Yeah. Nine straight times. All I'm saying is, yeah, you could bring LeBron James in, and he's great. It's still not enough.
Oh, no, we agree with that.
And who's signing up to play with LeBron these days? Unless it's via trade.
He's thrown D'Lo under the bus.
He's thrown Austin Reeves under the bus. He's thrown Darvin Ham under the bus. When he comes here, he'll throw Steph Curry under the bus. He'll throw Steve Kerr under the bus.
For Steph.
Oh, please. He will find a way to throw somebody under the bus. That's what he does. That's who he is.
All right.
It's just a little bit of narcissism that I don't want to do.
We literally did this with Chris Paul.
You don't think that LeBron takes Paul. He always gets, media-wise, he gets crushed. Like, from last night, like, he had an incredible game, but he missed the shot, and Jamal made it. He's going to get crushed.
That's just because Skip Bayless is an idiot. He's an idiot.
Well, I know, but...
He's an idiot. All right, come on.
But media-wise, we're talking about it now, throwing people under the bus. I don't think he did that yesterday. It was more so for the officials. He wasn't throwing D'Lo or Darvin Ham or anything
He has the loser's limp. Every now and then, like when things don't go his way, I freely admit that.
Listen to this. Y'all blew 20. So I watched the entire press conference.
You find me a good loser, I'll tell you that guy's a loser.
Well, listen. That is true.
I knew you'd love that because that's your line.
Yeah. She'll be a loser. I'll show you a good loser.
I repackaged it. Listen.
Like, all right, so LeBron James comes here. How much better are the Warriors? Are they a top five seed in the West?
No, you have to make a variety of moves. If I put Luka on the team or SGA or whatever, like there's other moves that still need to be made.
A lot of moves need to be made, but
start.
But LeBron James, I watched an entire press conference last night. That's why I went to bed late. I was watching all the pressers, trying to watch inside the NBA.
Practicing postgame?
Inside the
We're
NBA.
We're waiting for the King to get to the podium right now. Molly, what'd you think of the King's performance tonight?
Inside the NBA. I can't get enough of it during the playoffs. I'm just going to ignore that. I'm steamrolling right past it. Right past it. Because we're having a serious conversation. Because Shasky knows it.
Fezzy fell.
Is what he does. This is what Shasky does.
LeBron!
This is what Shasky does when he's got nothing but LeBron. Listen, I watched the entire press conference.
LBJ all damn day.
For the LA Lakers. Listen, LeBron sat there and was short on every freaking question. Short, angry, simmering, blah, 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 blah. And then this happened.
Of course, it's a heartbreaking game. You don't ever want to lose in that fashion. I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year, or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't ask you a question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the. Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
Hey, so LeBron, it's what he does.
It bothers me.
That's what he does. Tomorrow it'd be D'Lo's fault. The next day it'd be Austin Reeves' fault. How many coaches has he gotten fired?
It would be funny.
I mean, come on, man.
What's Curry's most free throw attempts average per game
probably
in a single season?
Five or six.
Yeah, he like jumps up to like 13 a game.
Well, LeBron was crying after the game. Did you see him crying after the game? He asked the referees a question.
Well,
you're not going to ask her. It's like, dude, they're. The game's over.
He did it in the second quarter when he had a dunk and he thought someone sideswiped him. And then he literally turned to the referee and they're like, all right, I have to blow the whistle. I have to do it.
Just shows that he cares.
I mean, you know. Right.
We got Scott Osler coming up in 9 minutes. We got the lines jacked up here. Let's get to these callers, man. Hey, who knew? The Warriors haven't played in a week. And all people want to talk around this market. We got the NFL draft coming up. We got Brandon Ayuk rumors.
Got notes.
We got Giants stuff.
Right field production notes.
Yeah.
What the Giants are doing in right field, and
nobody cares right now because we got a crisis.
I
want to
talk LED lights at Oracle.
Yeah, sure, you do.
Save it for the podcast.
Yeah, save it for the garlic fries and baseball.
If your internet works,
garlic fries and baseball guys.
What did I do wrong?
Started.
Let's go to
Gutsy A's wins.
Let's get to my main man, Brent Casino Matrix.
They gave John Sterling an 84-inch television, and everyone was like, that's worth $245 at Best Buy.
They gifted an 86-year-old man a TV.
Funny. And then what's he going to do? Put it in the car? How's he going to get into his house?
Casino Matrix, we could use another TV.
Give Brett, it to me. Brett,
you guys could use an 84-inch TV.
We have many TVs. Many TVs.
I know.
Yeah.
A plethora?
Good morning. Good morning, Brett. You know, I love you, Brett. I need to come see you.
What's up?
I love you too, man. Hey, I never even said anything, but I'm happy about you and the baby, man. I'm really happy for you about that, brother.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you.
But is it me? Can I say something real quick? What is it with BPA? Is he like a bad ex-girlfriend and just always negative?
It's just.
I picture this guy driving around like in an ice cream truck out front of like elementary.
I'm sorry, I hate to break the narrative.
I mean, he's
just. Well, that's
well, he's banned, yeah. Brett, he's not calling back until May.
You put him in Alcatraz?
He's in Alcatraz. Yeah. I'll put him in Alcatraz before. Yeah. Did he start calling with fake voices and fake names? I can't deal with this sometimes. I can't deal with them sometimes. It's just too much, Brett. It's too much negativity from the guy. Like, the guy, like, Brett, does the guy enjoy life? Like, I wonder, like, seriously, when I see his tweets.
I get a kick out of him.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do.
Go ahead, Brett. Chaos.
Jassy, I'm just a man. Yeah. I mean, but the narrative is he needs a timeout. That's what he needs.
He needs a timeout.
So my take, sorry, boys. My take was, you know, they keep saying about Draymond and how we can't survive with him or off the court. But it's like, well, we can't live without him either. It's like, how are we going to move Draymond if we're playing better with him on the court?
I know. Yeah.
And I know all the intangibles that come with him. But, I mean, man, Draymond makes me scratch my head. And I got homies that are just like Draymond. They're knuckleheads. But I still love them at the end of the day. And it's like, look, man, Draymond's got to be there. That's just the way I see it. But, hey, guys, I wish you the best. And we'll talk soon, okay?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Brett. Hey, that's the... He's a big enigma, right?
We've now turned into the Rome show where everyone is now ripping other callers. I'm here for it.
Our community
got guns out for
the
everyone.
Jungle is wild.
I'm here for it, too.
Rome is burning.
I'm here for it, too. Even the 408 or City Mobile Text.
Hi, I'm Jim Rome. Let me read from a script that one of my 17 producers wrote.
Kyle Brandt, producer extraordinaire.
Hey, say what you want about Jim Rome. Y'all talk about me hating on LeBron. You're talking about a Radio Hall of Famer who's got plenty of money.
We're just doing impressions of him.
I know. What are you talking about?
Hating.
Everyone respects
y'all
lightweight
him. Lightweight hating. No, y'all be hating. No,
impressions does not equal hate.
What are you talking about?
No, he threw a shot at him saying it's 17 producers.
No, he admitted it. He put it out on air that he doesn't do his own tweets. He literally reads from a script.
Oh, boy.
Him and Cowherd.
Oh, man.
I think that's when Colin Cowherd went at Dan Patrick because he had four different sidekicks and everyone was defending Dan at that point.
Yeah. The Danettes.
The Danettes.
And now one of them spins off and I wake up first thing in the morning and I hear him.
Yeah. McLovin.
McLovin. Yeah, but he's Perloff?
Yeah, Andrew Perloff.
Yeah, I don't know. 408 says I have a lot of Steiny in me. A lot of Steiny in me.
I mean, you guys are very similar.
We tell the truth is what we do. It's what we do. We tell the truth.
You're the magic eight ball. I shake the magic Bonte.
No
tell
caps
me the
here.
Truth.
No caps here. You're getting it raw and uncut, baby. Let's go to Jimmy in Bayview. Jimmy in Bayview. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Jimmy?
I just wanted to say about Joel Embiid real quick. Cry, Philly, cry. He'll never be the man. He's always whining. And the second thing about the Warriors is, you know, with the new, basically, Warriors rule, you know, the new repeater tax rule, the Warriors got to be under the second apron two of the next 4 years.
Yep.
So what I would do, I would actually trade. I think Philly would be interested in Andrew Wiggins and losing Tobias Harris. And the Warriors need a year where they just got to let their young kids grow, because whether they be trade assets or whether, you know, they grow into something special, when you keep going for the fast money, a championship every year, you know, you're putting off growing your own assets. So I think the Warriors are in for a kind of salary reset year. And with Klay, I don't think they're going to offer more than 2 years. For Klay's benefit, I think he needs to move on to to Orlando is perfect. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, Orlando.
I think this caller clearly understands the finances of the Warriors, and it's a reasonable opinion.
And the Clay and Orlando thing has a lot of legs to it. I think they should go after Malik Monk and Clay.
That's probably the easiest fan base to fall back on too. Not really known for their rabid fan base out in Orlando.
Nick Friedell's mother.
You guys were talking to Justin Termini, you can find that entire interview on a YouTube and download the Odyssey app. I mean, find it there. But also, like, Sixers, you guys brought up, I was like, oh, that fan base with Clay, it'd be Danny Green all over again. They're looking to crush him every single turn.
Yeah, I don't like him in Philly for that reason alone with the fans. That's a good point. I hadn't considered that.
Yeah, I don't want him.
Orlando is a much easier landing zone.
I could see Clay running down Broad Street, jogging in Broad Street.
Oh, I think they'd love him.
Rocky statue. But it is.
There's a psychology.
With Rocco. No,
it is. Orlando would be nice because it's
Think of what they did to Ben Simmons.
But you think about Orlando, man. You got all that water. Quick flight to the Bahamas on some off days. You know, you could do a lot of things
with
Orlando.
The boat would play in Orlando.
Yes, no doubt it would. No doubt it would. It's funny how that is coming to fruition. Orlando.
I believe he'd have to, you know, going all the way around, he would have to, how would you get the boat there?
Panama Canal?
He would take it the whole way? You'd pay someone to take it.
No, you'd have to, yeah. You'd ship that
over. Could you, like, get it on a truck
or something? Yeah, yeah, no, you'd put it on a trailer. Yeah,
okay,
trailer.
I was going to ask. Yeah, I don't know enough about boats. Yeah.
You could, but
that's a long drive.
Real quick before Scott Oswald.
Use a camper.
Let's go to Maryland. Joseph in Maryland. All the way in Maryland. We're national today.
How y'all doing, man?
What's up, Joseph?
How y'all doing, man? I'm good.
What's going on?
So, I was on Twitter, you know, browsing, and I saw a tweet from you guys. You know, I'm a lifetime Warriors fan. Are the Warriors better off moving from Steph? And I just have some opinions on that.
Spit them out.
I think absolutely not. You know, I think he's still 36. You know, he is on the end of his prime. But he's still averaging 27 points per game. You know, he just led the league in threes again. We know that's what he's going to do. And, you know, I know our salary's kind of tight right now. I think we got to get Chris Paul out of there. But, you know, at the back end of the season, we were 27-12 after Draymond's suspension. Like, we can still win. I don't think we can win another championship. But I think we move a couple assets around. You know, Jonathan Kuminga's kind of blossoming in front of our eyes. Like, he's still not, you know, that guy. But... you know, I still think we can make some noise in the West if we move, you know, some players around.
All right, Joseph, good take. I respect it. A lot of people feel like that.
Do the legal.
All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Cave. Now, don't forget, we just got the email. We're going to have to tweak this on Thursday. KGMZ FM and